because I'm that sort of a person, I'm going to take great pity on you tonight, because the reading that I was going to bring actually goes on about 20 verses. So I'm giving you the abridged version. So it's John chapter 4, and I'm reading verses 39 to 42. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." Our text this evening is taken from the account of the meeting between Jesus and a Samaritan woman at a well in Samaria. Because the whole account is a rather long reading, and because it's quite well known, I want to take the liberty of just recapping the story and then moving on to the short text I've selected for this evening. As we said, Jesus met this woman at a well in Samaria. Now John tells us that Jesus needed to go from Judea to Galilee, and he chose to go via Samaria. He could have avoided Samaria altogether, but this would have been a longer journey. I imagine that most of us know that the Jews and the Samaritans were not on good terms, and they usually tried their best to avoid each other. In fact, the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans was in some respects like the relationship between Catholic and Protestants in Northern Ireland. They both worshipped the same God, but greatly differed in the way that they did so. So we could see that by choosing to go the shortest route, Jesus was actually doing something that was unusual for a Jew. Excuse me. At about midday, as Jesus and his disciples travelled through Samaria, they came to a well at a town called Sychar. As Jesus was tired, they rested there, and the disciples went off to the town to buy food and left Jesus resting at the well. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water, and Jesus entered into conversation with her. The woman was surprised because not only did Jews usually totally ignore Samaritans, but Jesus was actually talking to her, a woman. As they talked, Jesus told her who he was and also told her some facts about her life that, as a stranger, he couldn't possibly have known. He told her that she'd been in relationships with men 5 times before and that the man she was now living with was not her husband. Eventually, the woman came to realize that Jesus was the promised Messiah and she believed in him. So the woman rushed off to town and told everybody that she met, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And as a result, many came out of the town and made their way to him. This whole account is remarkable, and many sermons have been preached about it and on it. And that's probably because in this account we see the wonderful work of Jesus in amazing action. Now we can talk heavily about how Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We can wax lyrically about how Jesus came to forgive sins and restore sinners. We can explain carefully how we come to him, and just as we are, and he will accept us. But in this account, in John 4, we see all of that in action. Here we see Jesus taking the initiative and seeking out this woman by actually going where he would not normally go, just to meet with her. We see him making the first move and talking to her. We see that he knows exactly what sort of woman she is, but that her somewhat colourful lifestyle has not put him off. We see that he's prepared to accept her, even though it's likely that the people where she was living condemned and ostracised her. And this account is very, very clearly shows us the gospel in action, and we're shown the way by the Master. This woman was used to gossip and scandalised eyes wherever she went. She was used to the fact that because of her history with men, the villagers considered her an immoral woman and no better than she ought to be. She was used to the rejection of men who used her and then cast her off like an old garment. And that's why she came to the well at noon when no one else would be about. And when she came to the well that day, what do you think she expected? I believe she expected silence. I believe she expected solitude. Instead, she found someone who knew her better than she knew herself. Just imagine the scene. There he was, seated on the ground, his legs outstretched, hands folded, back resting against the well. His eyes were closed. He looked asleep. And she stopped and looked at him. And she looked around. No one else was nearby. She looked back at him. He was obviously Jewish. What was he doing here in Samaria? Then his eyes opened, and her eyes darted away in embarrassment. She went quickly about her task. And Jesus sensed her discomfort and said the most natural thing, could I have a drink, please? But she was too streetwise to think that that's all he wanted was a drink. Since when does one of your kind ask a woman like me for a drink, she said. She wanted to know what he really had in mind. Her intuition was partly correct, because he was interested in more than water. But he wasn't interested in the way that men usually were. He's not chatting her up and trying to get over friendly. He's only interested in her heart. And so they talked. Who could remember the last time a man had spoken to her with respect? He told her about a spring of water, living water, that would quench her deepest thirst. And that intrigued her. Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He replied, go, call your husband and come back. Oh, how her heart must have sunk. Here he was, a Jew who didn't care that she was a Samaritan. Here was a man who didn't look down on her as a woman. Here was the closest thing to kindness she'd ever seen. And now he was asking her about that. Oh dear, anything but that. Maybe she considered lying. Oh, my husband, oh, he's away right now. Maybe she wanted to change the subject. Perhaps she wanted to leave, but she stayed. And she told the truth. I have no husband. The one woman wondered what Jesus would do. She must have wondered if the kindness would cease when the truth was revealed. That he'd be angry, that he'd leave. That he too will think I'm worthless and no better than I should be. But she's amazed at Jesus' answer. You're right. You've had 5 husbands, and you're not married to the man you're living with now. No criticism. No anger. No lecture on look at the mess you've made of your life now. Because it wasn't perfection that Jesus was seeking. It was honesty. The woman was amazed. I can see that you're a prophet, she said. In other words, there's something different about you, something special. And then she asked the question that revealed the gaping hole in her life. Where is God? My people say he's on this mountain. Your people say that he's in Jerusalem. I don't know where he is. Now, can you imagine the expression on Jesus' face as he heard these words? Did his eyes fill with tears? Did he smile? Did he look up into the clouds and wink at his father? Of all the places to find a hungry heart, here in Samaria. Of all the Samaritans to be searching for God, Here was a woman who had been through 5 relationships. Of all the people to be chosen to personally receive the news that the world had been waiting for, an outcast among outcasts. Isn't it remarkable? Jesus didn't reveal the secret to King Herod. He didn't request an audience with the temple leaders. He didn't hold a press conference in the market square. No, it was in the shade of a well in a rejected land to an ostracized woman. His eyes must have danced as he whispered the secret. "You're looking for the Messiah. I am the Messiah." The most important phrase in the chapter is one that is so easily overlooked. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" We don't want to miss the drama of the moment. Look at her eyes, wide open in amazement. Listen to her as she struggles for words. You're the Messiah? And watch as she scrambles to her feet, takes one last look at the grinning Galilean, turns and almost runs into the returning disciples. She almost falls, regains her balance and races off to her village. Did you notice what she forgot? She forgot her water jar, the very purpose for her coming out to the well. Because now she had a new purpose. Suddenly, the shame of her tattered romances had disappeared. Her worthless life was suddenly valuable. God is here. God has come. God cares about me. And that's why she forgot her water jar. That's why she ran to the village. That's why she grabbed the first person she saw and announced her discovery. "I just talked to a man who knows everything I ever did and loves me anyway." Jesus had just done what he always does best. He'd taken a life that was drifting and given it direction. He'd found someone who was running on empty and filled her with new life. And he still does the same today. And that brings us to the reason why I selected this passage this evening. Because what Jesus did that hot sunny day in Samaria 2,000 years ago, he's still doing. He's still in the business of finding those who are lost. He's still in the business of taking those who feel rejected, those who are drifting, those who don't quite fit in, and giving them a new life. He's still in the business of finding those who exude such self-confidence, who strive for respectability, but who are hurting and lonely inside, and he fills them with love and acceptance. Our text this evening shows us the result of what Jesus did in the life of that woman. Because what did she do? She rushed into the village, told what Jesus had done for her, and brought others to Jesus to see for themselves. And when they came to Jesus and met with him, they invited him to stay. And because of his words, many more became believers. Now, why did they come to Jesus? They came because of the testimony of the woman. And it illustrates a very important principle. There is no greater evangelistic tool than the personal testimony of a believer. All the preaching, all the Bible study, all the clever schemes and plans are nothing in comparison to personal testimony. And I know that that's a bold statement, especially coming from someone like me who is passionately committed to the preaching of the Word of God. But there's no doubt that it's true. A whole village of outcasts came to faith as a result of one testimony. Now, I know that your first reaction is to panic and protest, "But I'm not an evangelist." Well, I want to let you into a secret. Neither was that Samaritan woman. Yet she was responsible for introducing a whole village to Jesus. Undoubtedly, that was the work of the Spirit of God working through this reborn woman. Her words fall with unusual power upon the crowd, and they respond by coming to Jesus. They never responded to her before. They either usually studiously avoided her, or they ridiculed and insulted and gossiped about her. But now they respond to her. Now they crowd around her and listen to what she has to say, because God is working in her. She immediately becomes an evangelist. She has to tell what happened to her. As I said earlier, there's nothing better than a personal testimony to win someone for Jesus. Just sharing how Jesus has changed your life will speak far more eloquently than the finest sermon by the greatest evangelist. Come and see someone who changed my life. You don't have to be a good speaker. You don't have to have great Bible knowledge. You don't even have to know the magical formula that makes someone born again. Why is that? Because there is no magic formula. Just tell it as it happened to you. And if you need some help, seek out another Christian. It's true that the whole village came to Christ after they'd seen and talked to him, as our text shows. But don't forget our text, which says many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. It was her testimony that brought many to Christ. And God is the same today as he was 2,000 years ago. The testimony of that insignificant, despised woman was enough to bring those people to faith. The testimony of each one of us is enough to bring the people of this village to faith. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter who you are. It's the testimony of what God has done for you that does the work. Yes. Now, it may be that we've done it all before and no one's responded before. But when the Holy Spirit works through born-again Christians, people will respond. I believe the reason Jesus went through Samaria that day instead of taking the usual route was specifically to meet that woman. I believe that Jesus had a divine appointment that day, and he went because his Father sent him to that specific place on that specific day. The Holy Trinity worked together in that village. God the Father sent Jesus. The Holy Spirit brought the woman. Jesus ministered to her. Over the last few months, I seem to have detected a tangible change in the people of this area. There's a definite softening in them, a definite willingness to listen. In our own church here, we see this in the mother and toddlers, for instance. The numbers coming are greater than we've seen for a long time. In addition, the fun days and the other events always attract many, and those attending are introduced to Christian topics each time. The one this Wednesday, for instance, had 47 adults and 66 children. A lot of people from this area have been spoken to, and they still come back each week. Maybe, just maybe, we are seeing God move in this place. I know that more churches are being encouraged by the Lord to undertake spiritual warfare and prayer walks, and consequently they are seeing results. As I said, the Holy Spirit is softening the hearts of the people. So let us, every one of us, be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is asking of us. He's asking us to be like the woman at the well, asking us to go to our village and say, "He told me everything I ever did." And we know the result in that Samaritan village. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." Yeah. Can God do that again? Of course he can. I believe he's willing. But are we? And why not us? Why not now? Why not you? Jesus is still the same. The Holy Spirit is still the same. God is still the same. All we need to do is to be willing to share what God has done in my life, told me everything I ever did, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Amen.